Welcome to another episode of Words and Wine, where I speak about business, books, and big questions, and drink wine to ease my nerves. I'm Lauren Kress. Hi guys, hope you had a nice weekend, and happy Australia Day for Friday. I actually did a little special episode for Australia Day because I'm actually really enjoying this process of kind of talking about books and how they've helped me, and I think it helps me as well. So hopefully you guys got to see that and you enjoyed it. Basically, last episode, episode 2, I was talking about why your why is so important and how that informs your business vision. Now, there's one other thing we need to do before we start working on your business vision, and that is understanding your audience. I think it's a big area and there's a lot to cover, so if you have questions after this, please feel free to leave them below, because there will be things that I don't get to cover in this episode. So I think often business owners can get this wrong, and it's definitely something that I've not done in the past, which is that not thinking, getting so excited about an idea and jumping into that without really thinking about an audience before trying to start to make money out of it. And I think that's a problem, because if you have overhead, so if you're starting to pay rent or you're paying for staff or you're doing other things before you really understand whether or not people are actually interested in investing in your idea, as in purchasing your products or services, then you haven't really gone off to a good start. And like I said, I'm definitely guilty of this. So if you haven't done that, that's fine. But this is definitely something that you can do, even if you've already started a business, and it's even better if you can do it before you started a business. So I'm going to tell you three things that are really helpful for understanding your audience, and they're quite simple and practical and easy to implement. So the first thing is about market research. So really basic, broad market research in terms of, is there a market there or isn't there a market there? Now, the book I'm going to recommend for this one is a book I've recommended before, which is The Personal MBA. And there's a section in The Personal MBA, which actually there's a link to as well, which basically just walks through sort of a quick checklist, bit of a sanity check for, is your idea actually going to make money? So in the book, it's on page 45. But what Josh does is really cool. He actually shares a link for each section. So I'll put that link up at the bottom here on YouTube, and I'll also share it in my podcast. For those of you watching on video, I actually do have a podcast of this series as well, if you prefer podcasts to YouTube. I know some people do, because then you can just download it and listen to it on the train, which is what I do when I'm making my way up from Wollongong to Sydney. So this is really sort of like a quick checklist of, is there an urgency? Is there a need here? Is there a market? How big is the market here? And basically he gives you a way of sort of assessing that. It's really, really useful. By the way, I'm drinking white wine tonight. A Riesling. Because it's quite warm. And my cat has just jumped up. She wants cuddles, but I can't give her cuddles at the moment. The example I wanted to use for this, when we start thinking about commercializing your why, is that of an illustrator. So I was actually talking to someone the other day, you probably know who you are, and we were kind of brainstorming ways that she could commercialize what she does. So a lot of illustrators go into freelance work, which is sort of in a way starting your own business, but it's not quite starting your own business, because you can't teach someone else to do that. You're just using your skills directly. And that's fine. Actually, Seth Godin does a really good explanation of that in one of his podcast series. So I'll find it for you and I'll link it below as well. So illustration in of itself is quite a flooded market, because there's less of a need for illustration than there are people who want to make money from illustration. But there are things that we could think about outside of the box that might work. So for instance, one of the things we were talking about is, all right, well, what if you, there's not going to be many people who necessarily buy illustrations, although there will be, you might be able to make some money from doing that. You wouldn't be able to run an entire business from doing that necessarily. because it's quite competitive. But what about if you taught people how to illustrate? And it's very easy to work out whether or not there's a market in your area for that, which brings me to point two. So point two is blog about it first. So before you start a business, a really good way to test whether people are interested in what you're thinking about doing is to blog about it. Whether it's a product or service, it doesn't really matter. And there's some really cheap and easy ways to start a blog. You can actually, there's some blogging platforms that you can actually basically just use for free, like WordPress.com. I am a WordPress.org fan. That's how I kind of started my first blog when I was 17. And I think it's you can learn so much about your audience. So you want to start building a profile before you've even started thinking about paying rent for your business or setting up a business name. Or if you can start just experimenting with content, it's a really, really good way to start to understand your audience and whether there's a market there. So I have a book also to recommend for this one. And this is another Austin Kleon book called Show Your Work. So what this is basically about, it's a great book. And again, he has all these little, great little illustrations in here. I love him. I love the way he puts work together. And he kind of walks through how to share your work and how that sort of has helped him as well. So there's this, by walking people through the process of what you do, especially if you're in the creative kind of field, you'll be able to see whether people like or not what you're doing. It's not going to be perfect. So I think a lot of people who are interested in starting a business are probably to stereotype, be type A personality, and probably leaning towards the side of being a perfectionist, perhaps. So you have to accept that you're going to make mistakes, and you have to accept that things are going to go wrong. So even using this vlog as an example, this is something that I started a few weeks back, and already I've decided to use my phone camera instead of my laptop camera because it's clearer. And the other thing that I decided to do pretty quickly was to shorten my episodes. So instead of 25 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. So how I did that was that I started showing my process, I started showing my work, and then I got feedback from people who started listening or watching what I was doing. And that was really, really useful because then I can fix it and I can keep moving forward. Okay, so tip three is to gain insights on results your audience value. Now, this one is probably the most important one, especially with social media and the way marketing works now. So the way a lot of marketing works is now in a digital space where we have a lot less control, but also where people can share what they think about a company immediately. And people can share the results that they got from a company immediately. So the book that I'd recommend to understand this concept a little bit better is this one, Absolute Value. I think it says, what really influences customers in the age of nearly perfect information? Now, this book is quite scientific. So it's written by Itamar Simonson, who works in consumer decision making, and Emmanuel Rosen. Ah, interesting. He launched EndNote, which is a product that I love because I used it in university. He's an award-winning copywriter. So they wrote together. But basically what they're saying is that in the age of nearly perfect information, where we can read reviews about services or products or things that a business offers, prospective customers actually prefer to trust those people rather than trust you. So what you really need to do is you really need to be very results-based. And again, that's why blogging can be a good place to start. Or giving someone something to free to start off with when you're not relying on it yet for your income. So this is why I think like jumping straight into a business and trying to make money from it is like not a good idea. That's really what's going to lead you to debt and stress very, very quickly. What you want to do is you want to get something out there to test and see what people think, or run a workshop or whatever it is in the area that you want to work in, and see how it goes. And then ask the people who liked it to give you feedback. Well, actually, just ask people to give you feedback. But if people liked it, ask them for a referral.
So I think that's one of the things that where a lot of us go wrong is we get, like I said before, we get so excited about starting a business that we don't actually stop and think, oh, hang on a second, like, let me just make sure that my audience is passionate about this as well. So I think the one other thing I did want to talk about, and I know I'm running out of time, but I think it's really important, is building personas. So persona work, or sort of like people call them buyer personas or user personas, is a way of understanding the mindset, the drivers and motivations of people who are interested in your product. So we make a few assumptions. We assume that the person is already someone who is going to be interested in your kind of product or service. And then we start to look at, okay, what are some of the behaviors that we see with these people when they interact with competitors? So a really good way to also do market research, and I know I've meant to say three, but this is kind of four, is looking at your competitors and looking at who interacts with your competitors. So a lot of people who want to start building social profiles, the first thing they'll do is they'll follow all the people who are following their competitors because they know they're already interested in that. Persona work, what I'll do, because there's a lot of information in this, is I'll link some useful website sort of articles that I've found really useful for me. But the big thing you need to think about is, like, what is the customer's situation? So we start to kind of paint this psychographic profile of this person. Like I said, there's very thorough information about this. I'm sort of just like gleaning over the surface. So I'll post that in my notes because I think that it's important to really understand this in depth, and it's very hard to cover it in a short amount of time. The other thing that I like to do is I like to work up what I call an empathy statement. So actually I learned this from one of my previous bosses. He taught me about the empathy statement, but basically it's this one sentence that you can say that kind of encapsulates how that person is feeling. So for instance, if we were talking again about the person who might be interested in an illustration workshop who doesn't know how to draw, it might be something like, I've always wanted to learn how to draw. I remember having a lot of fun when I was a kid drawing in my free time, but since I've gotten older, I've just found it very intimidating and I'm embarrassed and I'm really envious of my friends who can do this. As an example, I've just made that up on the spot. But we start to understand, okay, this person's frustrated, this person, how do we then talk to that person? How do we then start to frame up our business in a way that appeals to them? So just to quickly recap, one, you want to commercialize your why by understanding your market, broadly speaking. Two, you want to start blogging so that you can speak directly with people who are interested in what you're doing and see if there's a market there. Three, you want to understand what results are creating value for your audience. So what results people expect, what results people are impressed by. Because the other thing that I haven't said is that if you're doing something that you're really passionate about, and it's something that comes quite naturally to you, you might even not realize that it's worth the money that it's worth. And this is something that I've really struggled with. I really enjoy doing what I do. And so I have a hard time remembering that, one, it's difficult for other people, and two, people are willing to pay quite good money for it. Because I'm like, I'm having such a great time doing what I'm doing. Oh, no, I can't charge that much for it because I really love this. But no, you can't do that. So because then you will not be able to run a successful business. So you need to understand the situation that your audience are and what results they want. Then you can define your solution and you can define your vision, but it needs to come from your audience. So I think that's enough for tonight. We covered a lot. And like I said, I will put some notes below. What I'm also going to do is I'm going to actually put some show notes up on my blog. So my website is laurencress.com, and I will sort of rewrite all of these points and what we've talked about tonight, because there is a lot and I think it's important information. And if I can help you guys with this, I really want to. Please leave any questions that you have below on this, because I can answer that next time when I talk about business vision. So next week we'll be talking about building your business vision and your mission and your values. So tune in next week. Like I said, let me know if you have any questions, and I will talk to you guys then. Have a good night. Have a good week.